You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
We welcome you back, and it is so great to welcome to our program Sam Pittman. And Coach, I know spring is over, at least unofficially. It never really ends. How are you doing, and how do you feel?
Oh, I feel great. I thought we had a really good spring game. Paul, to be honest with you, there's not a practice I go, man, we didn't practice hard. We didn't play well. Saturday, I thought our quarterbacks, both of them, Hornsby and Jefferson, played really well. And to be honest with you, that's really what we were going out there to look. We felt like we could run the ball a little bit better than we had last year, but I was concerned about the accuracy of the quarterbacks, and they really did a nice job on Saturday.
And these are questions that you'll be asked from now until you run out on the field for the first game. But how do you ultimately determine who gets the start in the opener?
Well, I think right now KJ Jefferson's ahead of Malik. He's going to have to catch him. But I do believe that he has the ability to do that. So both of them, they're close friends. They're fierce competitors. But we'll just continue to monitor them. As much as, legally we can. And then, of course, we have those 25 practices in fall camp to determine who ultimately would be the guy.
I know these are I don't want to go back with questions, but I can't tell you how many times I remember talking to you last year without spring. It was so different. And, you still had, by at least most people's accounts, a really good season. Record-wise, it may not have been ideal for in your book, but a lot of fans are fired up. How different does it feel as you turn the page and you now know where you are at least?
A lot. You really don't know everything about your job, Paul, until you've hit that one-year mark. In other words, you've gone through spring. And I know I've been here about a year and 3 or 4 months, but we didn't have spring last year, as you just stated. And so I was kind of nervous about being a first-time head coach and running through the spring practice because we hadn't done it before. But, man, I couldn't be much prouder of our team than what we are. And the spring game went well. We came out injury-free. So I'm really excited where our program is, and I know we've got a lot of work to do, but we've got kids willing to do that as well.
And what happens now? I know there's so many things that are still in motion with on the recruiting front, and things are starting to settle down and what you can start to do normally. But what happened? I mean, I know you're working. It's not like you took a cruise, but what's your next priority?
Well, we've got a few scholarships, Paul, honestly, that we could push forward. So we're certainly looking in the transfer portal at a position or maybe two positions there and see if we can't help our football team out that way. We're in discretionary period right now, so hopefully our kids will get in there and lift 3 times a week, but that's totally up to them over the next 2. Then we go to finals, and then there's about a 3-week period there where the kids are home. And we just don't, I talked to them, we just don't want to lose where we're at. Even we'd love to gain, but if we don't lose where we are right now, I think when we get them back here, I believe it is May 23rd with the rest of the incoming freshmen, I think we'll have a good football team. And if we'll come in shape, we could have a special team.
Let me piggyback off that, because I wouldn't be doing a good job as a reporter if I didn't ask you to elaborate on that special team. That's the kind of line that gets fans excited, Coach.
Well, I'm not saying, Paul, I'm saying a special team for Arkansas. And what I mean by that is one that will go out there and make the fans proud, play hard, and be in every game. I mean, I think now, win or lose, I'm not sitting here saying we're going to go 12-0, obviously. But I am saying that Arkansas should be in every football game. And it should be a competitive football game. And then at the end of the game, figure out who has the most points. That's what I mean by a special team, because I think we should be able to compete in each game that we play in.
And I think, Coach, you understand better than all of us that's really what Arkansas fans want. This is a program that you were hired because it was so far down. And, you know, if you're measuring progress, and, you know, I'm going to quit saying this, but it just seemed like you won so many more games than three, and not to relitigate the ending of a few, but do you feel like you're on a good track right now?
I do. Now, I'm the most positive guy, I hope, that's been on this program. You know, I am. I believe in Arkansas. I believe in the players. But I'm really excited of where we are. You know, Paul, we have 20 starters coming back. They all work very extremely hard. They're bigger, they're faster, they're stronger. And more than anything, they believe they can win. And that's probably the biggest thing that we've done since we've been here is our players trust us, we trust them, and they believe they can go out and win football games.
And, you know, schedules are schedules, but, you know, you're always going to have a tough schedule in the SEC, but, you know, you have a fairly challenging schedule out of conference. Is that what you want?
Well, you know, we'll play whoever's on there, obviously, but, you know, you would like to schedule, you know, you'd like to schedule, you know, some teams that aren't, you know, ranked in the top 15 in the country if you could, you know, but, you know, but I'll say this, I think we're going to be national champs in the hardest schedule 2 years in a row now. So I think we're number one this year in the hardest schedule, and I know we were last year. So we've won a national championship twice in that category.
Yeah, let me hold the schedule on the screen for a second for those of you watching at home. You know, Rice in Texas, A&M, of course, is always on the schedule. And then only at Georgia, at LSU, and at Alabama. That's enough to keep coaches up late at night. And I'm not talking about everybody else that you normally play, like Ole Miss and Auburn and Missouri and the usual suspects. Coach, I know that you took the job because it was an opportunity, but the idea that you have to play I guess you could have had a non-conference game against Clemson. That may have been the only thing that would have made this tougher, but it's hard to imagine it being much tougher.
Well, it is. You know, Paul, let's be honest. You know, I don't know that I was the first guy. Some people might be afraid of the schedule and they didn't want to come here and all that. I love Arkansas. So, listen, if we're going to win half our games, we've got to win three or four in the SEC. So, I mean, it is what it is, and I've said it before, we're in the SEC West, exactly where Arkansas belongs, and whoever those names are, we're not playing logos. We're playing 11 guys on 11 guys, and actually, I really love our logo, by the way, but we're playing 11-11, and we'll go out there and see if we can outscore them.
Coach, we're talking to Coach Sam Pittman. Coach, just, you know, so many times during the season, we talk to you about the grind, and, you know, it ended, there's no break. I mean, you got to turn it right around in recruiting and then start to, is there a point where, you know, I know there's always a chance to take a little bit of time, but do you feel like you can afford to, or it's not so much can you afford to take time. Do you feel like you must take some time for you and your staff to get away from all this?
I think you want to, Paul. And, you know, you want to do all those things. Recruiting goes all the time. The thing I learned last year was as soon as our bowl game was canceled because of COVID, the phones start ringing about your position coaches, you know. So you're thinking, well, I'm going to go down here to Lake, get a couple of days just to kind of, unwind. That doesn't happen. Then as soon as spring ball is over with, then you get portal, you know, what's going on in the portal, who's going to transfer, who's transferring in, all those type things. So as much as you'd like to, you know, maybe an hour or 10 hours or something off, it's just not going to happen. That comes with the territory. So we try to embrace it.
And you don't need me to tell you because you live there, but I, as a kid, I used to spend a lot of time in Arkansas on those lakes, and it would be pretty tough to find a prettier place to spend a spring weekend than any one of those lakes in Arkansas. When you finally do get away, what do you like to do when, I mean, you can't ever turn the phone off, I don't think, but at least you can act like it's not there for a couple of minutes.
That's where I go, Paul. Jamie and I bought a lake home down in Hot Springs on Lake Hamilton, and that's where we go. It's kind of our getaway. You know, there's something soothing about water, and I like to fish, and I just like to go around in my pontoon boat and have a good time. So that's what we do, and it's very, very relaxing. Obviously, you have the phone there, and last year I was trying to do that, Mr. Hunter Yurecek called me and said, hey, we got some new opponents, and it was Georgia and Florida. That kind of ruined that day. But other than that, it's been a lot of fun going down to Lake Hamilton.
Yeah, I'm sure when you got back to the cabin, that was, you know, everybody wanted to know why you had such a long face. It was pretty self-evident. Well, Coach, we won't keep you, but it's always a pleasure. We love having you on. The audience, I think they had five questions for me before you came on. Your fans are really excited, and we hope to see you again very soon.
Well, we are too, Paul. Appreciate it. The Hog's strong, and it is strong in this area. We appreciate you.
We look forward to seeing you soon. Coach Sam Pittman, feeling good, and as the spring has come to an end for the Razorbacks. We'll take a break. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Final hour, we'll talk to Cole Kublik, who was at the Georgia game, and Field Yates on the NFL draft just around the corner. We're coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And we are back here on a fairly busy Monday afternoon. Appreciate Coach Pittman joining us, and let's check out Ben, who is up next in Florida. Hello, Ben.
How's it going, Paul?
Very well. Great to have you on.
I'm going to ask you a question. Of all the Tennessee head coaches post Philip Fulmer era, which one do you think would have been more successful had they been given more time? Obviously, Lane Kiffin would be the number one answer, but between Dooley, Jones, and Pruitt, which one would you think would have panned out a little better had they had more time?
Yeah, there's no question you're right about Lane. I think between the three, I would have probably gone with Jeremy Pruitt. As, you know, that may not be a popular answer these days based on his ending, but yeah, I think overall he showed some promise. And the events of this year undid him, and I think what was going on off the field may have affected what was going on the field. He just needed to grow up and mature as a head coach, and I wonder whether he was too stubborn, but I thought he had the ingredients to be successful.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-hour energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jets is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jets' signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jets Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Yes, sir. And what do you think about Heupel and how long they're going to give him? Because, like you said, Pruitt, if he had more time, probably could have panned out. But you believe they're going to give Heupel that a time to really develop and do what he needs to do to start winning.
You know, Ben, that's such a difficult question. I'm not saying you're wrong to answer. I think right now he is going to get the benefit of the doubt, and that's entirely based on the person that hired him. As long as his athletic director remains popular and in good stead, I think he will protect Josh Heupel for the obvious reason that that was his hire. And but you never know how the winds change in a college environment, as we have always as we have seen. Philip Fulmer hired Jeremy Pruitt and then left through the same doorway because of things collapsing around him. But I think you would probably take the over right now on Josh Heupel, because the NCAA investigation is going to blur his success to some degree. And I don't think he has a very high bar right now to meet either.
Yes, sir. And I mean, we're doing pretty well in every other ball sport, but everyone knows that football is king. And so I feel like the athletic director's in pretty good standing as far as baseball, basketball, everything else. But football is the most important thing in Knoxville. So,
well, that goes without saying. Ben, thank you. We offer opinions without having seen a person coach, and they're predictable usually. And in Heupel's case, it's a little hard to get a good feeling. And I know fans are going to either react positively or negatively to what they see this weekend. Understandable. But it's going to be hard to know for a while. And, you know, I believe because the schedule is manageable that this year may go fairly well. But what happens next year and the year after when Tennessee endures those storm clouds left behind by Jeremy Pruitt? That's unanswerable at this point. Thank you very much for the call. Bobby is up next. Hey, Bobby, go right ahead.
Good afternoon, Paul. Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
It's good to talk to you again. I had my original question, and then your last caller had me thinking something about the four previous coaches. Kiffin had his 1 year with Tennessee. He left and matured a little bit, and Lane's turned into a pretty darn good coach. I think the same might happen with Pruitt. He had his chance to run a big time program, but things clearly didn't go very well. I think he might have the chance to step aside, regroup, and I think he has the potential to be a very successful college coach down the line. But what I was calling about is your time that you spent at UT and with the Beacon in the mid-70s. Tennessee swimming was on an absolute tear through that time. I think out of those 10 years, I think they took 6 or 7 SEC championships, the national title, I believe, in 77. And it was all due to Coach Ray Buzzard. I wanted to know, did you ever get a chance to meet or interview Coach Buzzard while you were there?
Bobby, I most certainly did, and I will share with you, I was the sports editor of the school paper in 77, and I distinctly remember...
The year they won the title.
Yeah, and I distinctly remember, primarily because I lived across the street, walking over to the swim center one night, and they were celebrating the national championship, and I was covering it for the paper, obviously, and they shaved Coach Buzzard's head. There was some bet that he made. He said, if we win the championship, and I was there and I saw the whole thing and I interviewed him afterwards. So I did know him fairly well.
I've seen those pictures. I'm in my 40s and I swam there when I was a teenager.
Really?
Those pictures are, those pictures are still, at that time, the pictures of Coach Buzzard's shaved head, were hung on the in the swimming complex in the early 90s.
Well, Bobby, let me share something about my life that I've rarely done because my athleticism is limited. But as a young kid, I was a competitive swimmer. Yep. And I was fascinated by swimming and diving and still am, you know, it was always, you know, one of my favorite things to watch in the Olympics and I would watch whatever was on TV. So I tried to get over there whenever I could. Sometimes we wrote about it and sometimes we didn't, but that was really, the drawing card for me. And, was I a great swimmer? I was a horror. I mean, from a competitive standpoint, no, but you could throw me in the ocean and I could figure out a way to get to the shore. Coach Buzzard was,
What was your favorite event?
Well, I primarily did freestyle because when I tried to do the intermediate, I was a disaster at backstroke. And so, but my introduction to swimming really came in high school with Mark Spitz in the 72 Olympics. I know it's been matched, but at the time nobody had ever done anything close to that. So I was, tell me about your career, which you actually had one. I didn't.
What was funny is, Ray's daughter, Jackie, was my first coach. I grew up swimming at the aquatic center, which I guess you lived across the street from the old aquatic center.
Right, exactly.
Ray's daughter was my first coach, and from what I've heard stories about, she was about as hard nosed as he was. Very very disciplined. I feel she was a lot like her father. And one thing that kind of popped into my head is I met Coach Buzzard several times. And from what I understand, he ran that program with an iron fist.
Right.
And I what would you compare the way Coach Buzzard ran that Tennessee swimming program to the way Nick Saban runs his program right now?
Yes. And Bobby, I feel qualified to say that because I was around there a lot and there have been great swimming programs throughout history and they're usually run the same way and you know what I'm talking about.
Yes. One last question and we won't get into the details of it because My cousin was on some of his teams. My old coach was on some of his teams.
Okay.
Do you remember the incident with the SEC championship trophy? The men or the team won the SEC championship. The coach was not very pleased with their swimming, even though they won the title. I need to go.
I do. I mean we're testing my mind of more than. What was this, 40 years? I do have a vague.
Well before I was born,
I do have a vague recollection of it. I do.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I just wanted to check on that. Hey, listen, Paul. Thank you for taking my call as always. I hope I gave you a little run down memory lane.
And, it was no. Bobby, it's amazing, and we all talk about this. The things that you can remember that are frozen in time. Because you've thought about them so often. Hey, thank you for the call. Really a pleasure to talk to you, and let's do it again. We're heading to a break before anybody gets too bored with my past accolades or failures. We are coming back with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. We hope you'll stick around right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
We have had a really fun show today. Brooks Cabina giving us the breakdown of what LSU's offense could look like. John Talty earlier on not only Alabama and Auburn spring, but what the SEC issues are moving forward as we head toward the middle of the summer. And, of course, you heard from Sam Pittman a minute ago. In the final hour, we will talk the NFL draft with Field Yates and the Georgia scrimmage with Cole Kublik, who covered it for the SEC Network. Let's get back to the calls. And to Alabama we go, and cheerleader is up next.
Hello.
Hey, cheerleader. How are you?
Well,
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Paul. That's hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm just going to just change the subject completely all up about nothing about some of your fans may be interested in, but probably some of them would. And I'm not seeing you on the TV, so I don't know what you have on today. But you may or may not read the Wall Street Journal, but they have put out 10 trends on the, you know, it's the weekend part, the all that kind of stuff, fashion and theater and trends and home trends and all that.
But right.
Did you see the 10 trends that are not in style anymore?
I did read it, and I'm trying to remember. None of them really stood out. I hope a white shirt with a lavender tie wasn't listed.
That wasn't listed, but if you've got on any skinny jeans, you just better take them off and put some big old pants on and throw those other ones away.
Well, I do. I do have some jeans. I went to the place in Oxford, Blue Delta Jeans. Have you ever heard of it? They do custom made jeans, and this was a couple of years ago. And they made me a pair of jeans, and I kept saying, "Listen, I'm not a teenager here."
And
They sent them to me, cheerleader, and I put them on and went to a party. This was about 5 years ago. I could not even move my legs. They were so tight. and by the way, at the time, I was fairly thin. Not, you know, whatever.
Yeah. Well, they just made them wrong. They just sent them to
the
wrong person.
They made them for a contestant for Miss Teen USA, and
must have size zeros.
Now, in fairness, I was back there again about 2 or 3 years ago, and they made me some new ones that do fit. But I wouldn't call them. I mean, they fit well, but I would not call them skinny jeans.
Well, I do not know who makes all this, you know what, up. But it is funny when you're with a group of people to talk about some of the things. I guess they don't have anything else to think about or write about or talk about now. If you've got the next thing I'm going to talk about, I'm going to really get upset with you.
Let me hear you.
Or, well, it would be Linda. Those huge earrings. Have you ever seen any of those huge earrings?
No. I don't know if you know my wife or not, but she would be described as fairly conservative.
She likes her 2-carat diamonds. She likes her 2-carat diamonds.
If she does, someone else gave them to her.
Well, you don't ever know. You don't have to know everything.
But
you don't have to know.
I would say she would I don't think she's wearing them unless I'm up for an Oscar.
Well, you might be. You might be because I can nominate you.
Well.
I have a nomination. And, Paul, I want to be your cheerleader that looks out for you for things like this because I don't know all the plays on the football field, and I don't know who all the assistant coaches are and, you know, 100,000 names of
them. Well, Cheryl, I'm so glad to hear this because, I mean, these are things which, In normal, in a normal year, I would be in New York. I'd be, you know, checking out all the fashions. But I haven't been to shopping for clothes in 2 years. So I'm way out of style.
Yeah. Well, you might be. I don't think you're out of style. Your hair isn't. Your glasses aren't. You always look nice to me. Of course, I can't tell if you got on skinny pants or not. Now, one thing that is out are those slip-on shoes made out of plastic bottles.
I don't wear those.
They are. Throw them away.
I will say this, Sheila. Not to woe is me, but I do have a difficult time buying shoes because I wear a very narrow foot. So it's,
yeah, but do you like the kind of shoes that tire those driving shoes?
I cannot wear loafers or slip-ons because you can't get them narrow enough for me.
You can't wear Wiggins.
No, not anymore.
You know, they still make them.
Well, I tell you what, one of these days I'm going to come back and hang out, go shopping in Mountain Brook. I'm going to get my starchy Oxford button-downs and my starchy khakis and get some Wiggins.
We're going to bring it up a little bit.
I'm going to look like I was born with a third or a fourth by my name.
Well, I like somebody to be a little groovy too now. We can't get too dull.
Well, don't worry.
I might get you that... that band that has the teddy bears, the dancing teddy bears.
Sheila, you count me in, okay? Thanks for the fashion tips. Let's go to Bob in New York. Hey, Bob, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, I hope all's well. How are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing great.
I'm just mixing it up a little bit. I just wanted to know your favorite snack or food at a tailgate game, going to SEC football, or food inside the stadium, or at the baseball game.
Okay, I'm going to defer, Bob. I have to tell you, in all candor, you're probably asking the wrong guy. Have you been to many games around the country?
A few, usually all in College Station, or mostly.
Well, why don't you give us the report from College Station? We'll let other people chime in from their parks.
Well, we do chili dogs, and up in New York, we do chicken wings. So
you do chicken wings in New York? I didn't think you could find chicken wings in New York.
Oh yeah, Buffalo, they started here.
Well, now that is true. I was thinking more of the city than where are you in New York?
Lake Ontario, about 30 minutes north of Buffalo.
Okay, well, I mean, obviously that is correct. I was thinking more. I didn't realize you weren't in the city, so. I was thinking you're walking down the street on Madison or Fifth Avenue. You're not going to find chicken wings.
I'm folding up a big slice of pizza and eating it in my hands out there, right?
So do you know the origins of the buffalo wings?
Yes, actually, a distant relative of my wife, the Bellissimo family, Frank and Teresa. They just fried up some scraps. They used to throw them out. The kids were roller skating or playing hockey in the street. The grandma fried them up, and the kids loved them, and the rest is, history.
That is amazing. That is an interesting story. Hey, thanks, Bob. Appreciate it. Bob from upstate, we are heading to a break, and we are back with more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Last hour is busy with Cole and Field, and we are coming right back.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
And if you don't have plans for Friday, make them. Starting at 10 a.m., the SEC Women's Tennis Championship, followed by the men at 12:30 p.m. right here. And Kibo is up next from South Carolina. Hello, Kibo.
How's it going, man?
Very well, thank you.
Paul, first time caller from Ainer, South Carolina, son.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Question for you. Everything that I've been hearing was a huge Gamecock fan, always have been. Was not really impressed with the Muschamp hire to begin with, but tried to give him the benefit of the doubt. What are your thoughts about the Gamecocks this season with Shane Beamer at the helm, with the coaches that he's got set in place?
Kibo, I think Shane has infused the program with a lot of excitement and optimism. That's the good news. The bad news is I'm not sure how many players he has on that roster that are going to be at a high enough level in the SEC to compete.
Yeah, and I understand that. I really do. I think that we've got, with the transfer portal, that we have gained a lot of quality players. But I agree with you that it remains to be unseen right now.
Well, I agree, Kibo. You can make up a lot of ground in the portal, but I think I'm not being negative here. I'm just stating what I believe to be the reality is that for all of the hype about Muschamp, he did not deliver, and Shane Beamer is going to pay for it short term.
That part I definitely understand. Maybe I'm shooting for the stars, which I'm a Gamecock fan. I've always wait till next year.
Right.
I appreciate you. I look at your show often, and your knowledge is unbelievable whenever it comes to college football. And I appreciate you, and that's really all I have to say.
Well, Kibo, thank you for calling, and hopefully things are going to be a little bit better. Brian is up next in Pennsylvania. Hey, Brian, thank you, and good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. And just like Kibo, this is my first time calling, and I'm also a Gamecock fan. But I just want to kind of talk about what are your views on as far as these lower-level SEC teams. You think they can kind of compete, you know, with Derek Mason being out at Vanderbilt, you know, the Gamecocks, we got a new coach. What do you think about, you know, these lower teams? Can they compete with the Alabamas this year, or the LSUs, or the Auburns?
Well, I think depends on – Brian, I don't think a Vanderbilt or a South Carolina can compete with Alabama right now. Now, you mentioned Auburn. South Carolina beat Auburn last year, so, there is that. But I think there is, you know, if you go from the top of the league where you have Alabama, Georgia, and Texas A&M to the bottom where you have Vanderbilt, and it depends on who else you want to put in that boat, I think there is quite a difference right now. And I think for the league needs to start compressing a little bit toward the middle, but I don't think you can even compare right now. Now, that doesn't mean you can't have a good game against one of these schools. That happens a lot of times when you have a big favorite, but I don't think they're in the same class at the moment.
All right, last question. Do you feel like there's a sleeper quarterback in the SEC that, you know, could get notoriety this year, you know, with Bryce Young at Alabama? We have a new starter with Luke Doughty at South Carolina. Is there any quarterback that you think that could – you know, kind of make noise in the SEC this year?
Yeah, I mean, I tell you what, let me pose that question to our next guest, because, he has gone to various practices and camps, and I could give you a name just to be funny, but I'm not sure I can. If I had told you last year, think about this for a second, that Mac Jones would not only be the starter at Alabama at the end of the season, but he would be a serious contender for the Heisman. Would you have believed me?
Absolutely not.
So that's why that is a hard, every magazine that's coming out, every website, every expert is going to have a sleeper. And I'm eager to hear who some people think they're going to be. We talked to Pittman a minute ago. He likes his guys. Jefferson in particular, And, you know, does LSU have one? You know, Brennan last year had high hopes. He got hurt. Maybe this year he comes back. You know, maybe this Milton at Tennessee lights a fire. Those are great questions, difficult to answer in the middle of April. We are going to take a break. Cole Kubelik will join us in a few minutes. We'll pose some questions to him about the quarterback that everyone is talking about, JT Daniels, Field Yates later on, but Cole is right around the corner.